This is Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Today's conversation is with Dr. Arnold Relman, editor emeritus of the New England Journal of Medicine and longtime observer of the U.S. health system and what ails it. He's also professor emeritus of medicine and social medicine at Harvard Medical School. He's just written an essay for BMJ titled, Why the U.S. Healthcare System is Failing and What Might Rescue It. Welcome, Dr. Relman.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be with you.
In 1980, you wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine on the new medical-industrial complex in which you warned against the commercialization of healthcare in the U.S. Is it fair to say that some of the industries you exempted from the commercialization label, the drug and the equipment companies, for instance, have now succumbed to commercialization?
Well, these companies that I originally exempted are businesses, and I never questioned the appropriateness of their being businesses and acting like businesses. So although I would say that sometimes they've not acted entirely well or even ethically in the last 10 or 20 years, their situation hasn't changed.
Okay. In those 32 years since the article came out, what's the biggest change? Has it been a continuing rolling toward commercialization and commoditization of medicine?
I would say the latter, Joe. That describes it pretty well. When I first perceived what was happening, it was a movement that was really just getting underway. But in the last three or so decades since I wrote that article, the commercialization of healthcare delivery has simply grown enormously. Remember, I'm talking about the delivery of healthcare. That was never commercialized before, and I made that distinction between the delivery of healthcare and the manufacture and sale of the equipment and the supplies and the drugs that we need for healthcare. They have always been businesses, and that hasn't changed.
Has medicine now, especially in the past couple of years, become, do you think, irretrievably politicized?
It's certainly become politicized, but I don't think it's irretrievable. I think that the medical profession, like the general public in the United States, is capable of learning from experience. And we've learned some hard lessons in the last couple of decades, one of which is that politics really should not control the healthcare system, and another is that healthcare really doesn't thrive when it's treated like a business, like an industry. We've gradually learned those lessons, and I believe that in the not-too-distant future, we'll begin to change our behavior. We'll have to in order to make our healthcare system survive.
You proposed two major reforms in your BMJ article. The first is removing the private health insurance companies from the equation. And,
yes.
And secondly, reorganizing healthcare around multi-specialty group practices, which change what you see as already being underway. But with healthcare closing in on 20% of the GDP, I think it's to 18% now almost.
It's a little over 18% now.
Do you think that with that much money in play, do you think the insurance companies are going to leave the fields voluntarily, or?
That's true. I don't think they're going to go out of business voluntarily. But I think that there is so much money to be saved by changing the system, and therefore so much money available to make other changes in the system that are needed, I think it should be possible to persuade investors in medical insurance companies that they're better off taking their money and investing elsewhere. I think it'll be possible, one way or another, to simply buy out the investors' interests in private insurance. I don't think they will be asked to take a loss. Mm-hmm. They should be reimbursed for their investment and equity in the system, and persuaded by what's happening to move elsewhere. And I think that's what's going to happen. It will become clear that private health insurance doesn't have a future as an investment, and it's better to invest your funds elsewhere. So if investors can be paid off, they'll walk out of the system. I think that's what's going to happen very gradually.
I was reading over the weekend a health affairs blog, and it was about the minimum loss ratio. And under the minimum loss ratio, which is part of the Affordable Care Act, the insurance companies are now asked to pay 80% of their what's called effective premium income out in reimbursements.
Yes.
And
depending on whether they're taking care of large groups or small groups, it will be 80 or 85%.
Right. I see.
Yes.
I see you're familiar with it, of course. Still, that would give them an overhead of something like, say,
15 to 20%.
Which is pretty, as you point out in your in one of your essays, the Medicare and Medicaid overhead is something on the order of 5 or 6%.
Less than that. It's estimated to be close to 3%, but much, much less than the private insurance system.
So under those numbers, the insurance companies would still be making out handsomely.
Yes. The actuary of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have estimated that the overhead costs and the profits of the private insurance industry cost us 2 years ago over $150 billion more than we would have spent if everything had been under public insurance. So it's an enormous burden on the healthcare system, and it's hard to see what benefits we get from private insurance that's anywhere nearly worth that kind of cost.
Now, here's the other part of your proposal, and this is the tough one. Do you think physicians will accept the idea that they ought to be salaried? It seems to require a huge cultural change, right?
I think, as I've said, I think physicians are learning by experience that being paid a very good salary, which does not reduce their income in any significant sense, being paid a very good salary and working in a group which they manage themselves, and not having to worry about the risks of running your own office and paying your own expenses and your insurance costs and so on, it makes good sense. And I think that what we're seeing now, as I describe in this article and elsewhere, more and more physicians are choosing voluntarily to give up private or small group practice and move into group practice. Now, it's true that at the present time, most of the groups, the multi-specialty groups that are being formed or that are expanding, are not paying full salaries. What they usually do is pay a base salary, a small base salary, and most of the rest of the reimbursement of the physician depends on their own individual billing. Mm. But the experience of physicians who work for salaried groups, like, say, the Mayo Clinic or Kaiser or Geisinger or Scott White, where they're paid full salaries, the experience is very good. I've talked to a lot of these physicians, and they're very happy. They get well paid, and they practice in a style that is much more comfortable and much more congenial than the dog-eat-dog competitive marketplace that private practice has turned out to be. Hmm. So I think the doctors will choose gradually. Not everybody, but most doctors will see that being well paid by physicians who manage themselves is a good choice.
What could a clinician do next week, besides reading your essay, that might change the prospects of the U.S. Healthcare system, Dr. Ellman? What would you advise that they start doing?
I think, first of all, it's important that physicians become fully educated about the facts of the American healthcare system. You don't need to be a rocket scientist, and you don't need to be a high-powered economist to figure out what's wrong with the healthcare system once you see the facts. The facts will tell any reasonable, objective physician that the system can't go on the way it is now. It's not going to work any longer. And doctors can be an important part of the solution to the problem by joining groups and ultimately moving from fee-for-service to a salary. So the first step, I would say, is to become informed, to read the facts, think about it, discuss it. The second step is to begin to suggest in your medical groups, in your county and state medical societies, and in your specialty medical societies, that physicians begin to take a public stand in favor of real reform. Polls are now showing that doctors in general are becoming more and more attracted to major reform and to a single payer, that is to say, a large public insurance system, much more than before. I think it's a gradual process that's going to increase. So doctors have to teach themselves and then speak out. When the medical profession as a whole becomes convinced that major change is needed, I think we're halfway there.
That's good advice. I want to thank you, Dr. Ellman, for spending time with me today.
You're welcome, Joe. It was a pleasure.
That was our 155th edition. All earlier ones may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from Journal Watch, whose website is jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Dr. Danielle Schurer and I thank you for listening.